The New Bethel Church of God in Christ presents 90-Minute Impact in Word and Worship. This high-energy, high-impact service is designed for people who desire to be impacted and to be impactful for the kingdom. Saturday, 6 p.m. till 7:30 p.m. 90 minutes is all we need. Then come back for Sunday morning worship, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. For details, call 704-391-0365 or visit newbethelchurch.com.
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
Continue just a few more points I want to make from the message I shared with you on Wednesday night out of 2 Samuel chapter 9. If you turn there, we're going to read the first three verses in the interest of time, and we're moving on. You know that we have this communion Sunday we'll serve, and we are destined to be done in 46 minutes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 1 through verse 3, if you're there, let's read together. It says, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The theme of this lesson, of this text, is restoration and reconciliation. Let's say amen for my wife coming in to celebrate the Lord for her. Amen. All right, all right. I ain't seen those before. All right. I would have some trouble drinking Pepsi from those because they got the toes out like that. I can't pour the Pepsi in them. Amen. All right. We celebrate the Lord for my wife. Thank God for my sweetheart. In case you all didn't know, this is my wife. Would you ask my wife if she would stand? Just want to make sure y'all know who she is. Yeah, that would be her. Amen. We honor the Lord. Thank God for each of you today, to Elder Martin, our worship leader. We praise God for him. He's also the leader of our men's ministry. And to the preachers and deacons that are here, we thank God for them. To our mothers, we celebrate each of them today as well. A tremendous group of sanctified, saved women of God that love the Lord. And thank God for the way they apply the word of God to their life. They are such an inspiration to us, and we thank God for them. To all the missionaries, and to you, the Lord's people. To our guests today, we thank God for each of you. Again, if you are a guest, if you would, just raise your hand. Again, we want to just acknowledge you. That means that you're a member of another ministry someplace. We're so blessed to have you here. God bless my brother and my sister-in-law who comes and celebrate with us. We thank God for them. They're looking very handsome today. As usual, and we thank God for each of them. In the Word, I'm going to move. I have just a few minutes, and we are committed to having you back in your cars as quickly as possible. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. I know you do. I know you do. In the Word of God, I was sharing on Wednesday night from this theme. But as you know, I never finish a message. I usually just quit as the Lord gives me release. Or I can preach I can preach this all year, but the Lord said in this text, it is an illustration of God's grace being shown to the body of Christ. And his message is, you know, we don't make it, we can't make it ourselves. We need God, amen? And God spoke as the consecration that we're on. Do remember, tomorrow night, 6:30, we're going to be here. There'll be a prayer clause that I want to give to those that are present as we believe God for the season of the miraculous that God is doing in the lives of his people. Amen. We really believe God to manifesting things, and particularly during this next 21 days, the favor that God will show, the healing God will manifest, the deliverance that God would bring in the lives of believers. Missionary Pam Smith preached an incredible word on last night. And just to remind you, that's a reminder that we do have service on Saturday night. For those of you that are available, we target 1.5 hours of time that night. But the word last night dealt with only believing, amen? And that's really what God wants. He wants us to just believe him. And so during this consecration, for those that will come tomorrow night, I want to share the prayer clause. So be there at 6:30. I believe the Lord will do you good. We've been sharing that in the process of reconciliation and restoration, that what God said he would do in reconciling, he would reconcile us back to, one, the purpose for which we were placed in the earth. Amen. Each one of us has a purpose, but many of us don't fulfill the purpose for which we were created. So the reconciliation piece of what God promised in 2015 is to marry us back, to the purpose for which he placed us in the earth. Amen. And that's what the Lord says. The purpose has to do with, and this is the deal, is to reconcile the purpose back to function. Amen. That means that we come into an understanding of why we're here, and then we allow that to be connected to the things we do so that we are demonstrating and walking out our purpose on earth. Now, that's the reconciliation piece. The restoration piece is God giving back to us, and that's what this lesson, this whole lesson deals with, also from the standpoint of restoration, that God said, I'm going to give you some things that you've been believing me for, that I'm going to restore it. Even some things that maybe you thought was long gone from your life, that you now did not have any chance of ever seeing manifest in your life, God said, I'm going to restore. He'll restore vision, he'll restore hopes, he'll restore anticipation, he'll restore expectation in the life, in the restoration of faith as we believe God. Amen? And so this account in 2 Samuel 9, it talks about both of those, reconcilement and restoration. David utilized this illustration, unusual to a king like David, because David, and he did what he did. I want you to hear this. Everything that you hear about David, I want you to hear the Lord declaring over your life that it's the same way with the King of Glory, who we're inextricably tied to. That means that we are tied to the King of Glory, who is God himself, and there's nothing that can stop us or disconnect us from God. Amen. God is pulling us to our destiny. One of the things that makes you realize that is even when you're in a low point in your life, there's something about what happens in your heart and in your mind that lets you know you're not going to stay in that low place, that God is pulling you to a place. When you're down, you know you can't stay there. Why? Because God's pulling me out of this place. He's got something greater, something better in store for my life. So we see this demonstrated in the text. So the specifics of the text, we read the words of the text. We said the words is what is defined as the pericope. That's the verbiage of the text. The meaning of the text is kerygma. That's the definition, the explanation of what happened. This is the kerygma. It is King David who's saying, is there someone that still survives from the house of Saul, of Jonathan. And then he inquires of Ziba, who really served as a servant in the house of Saul. He was actually the king's steward in Saul's house. And he tilled and kept and stewarded over land for Saul. Ziba, the history records, the word says, now he had 15 sons and he had 20 servants. So he took care of this land for Saul. But now David is in authority, and David actually rules over all of the land that he rules over. So he has the capacity to say whatever he desires, you know, happens to whatever land he designates. So if he wants this land that Ziba has will eventually be given to Mephibosheth, who is Jonathan's son. So when Jonathan and Saul dies in a battle at Jezreel, then the nurse, the one that's keeping Mephibosheth, who is Jonathan's son, she picks him up and attempts to flee to a place of safety, and she drops him. And when she drops him, he injures both feet. He becomes lame in both feet. All right? So he's trying to flee to a place of safety, and he is dropped. And he becomes lame, which means his mobility is impaired. He can't walk. He can't stand on his own. Amen? He can't stand on his own, and guess what? And the king is looking for him. Does that sound familiar to anybody in this place? Amen? And all that says is when you were a sinner, when you were, and some of us are still sinners. I mean, that we've not given our life to the Lord is what I'm referring to, all right? And the fact that, well, I'll talk about that later. I have about 10 minutes, so I won't have time to get. Again, if you're not saved, you're still a sinner. Amen. Everybody okay with that? Amen. Isn't it interesting just to hear that in the church, you know, and for us to think that's something unusual, that there's somebody that is not saved. Just the fact, because nobody relates to sin anymore, although everybody's doing it. Ask your neighbor, am I in the wrong church? Amen. So, all right, so now that we got the air clear, let me just move on real quick. So that is, in fact, what the deal is in every one of our lives. I didn't say you were practicing sinner. All right, you got that. All right. So this is what David said. David said, I want to know whether or not there's someone in Jonathan's house that I can bless. He looks for Jonathan's son because he has a covenant with Jonathan that I'm going to be kind to Jonathan, to you and your house. And I'm going to do this forever. And see, and the reason why, and watch this is really how I really like to be, because I remember how good God has been to me. Amen. I don't forget the things that God has done in my life. And God told David, he said, David, I'm going to be kind to you and your generations. And David was not the person that actually looked like, you know, in the execution of his life and his assignment in life, like he really embraced what God was saying, because he wasn't too kind to Uriah, was he? No, he was. But this is the time for David to say, I'm going to do what God has done in my life. I'm going to be kind to Jonathan's house. And so he looks for one of for Jonathan's son. And listen, while Mephibosheth is injured and he can't stand on his own feet, listen, saints of God, the king is looking for him. Amen. And watch it. This is where he finds him as well. He also, when he's looking for him, he finds him in the house of Machir or Machir, M-A-C-H-R. He finds him in that house. Machir was a wealthy person. He was loaded. And that name means selling. All right. And so he's in a place in the house of Machir, this person that is defined as a place where selling out, a compromise is executed. That's where he finds Mephibosheth, in the house of Machir, all right, in a place of compromise. And he is the son of Amiel, which means, Amiel means the people of God, all right? Now, he's in a place where compromise is going on, but he is connected to a person that is related, that has relationship with God. Amen. And that's just like, listen, we find ourselves, we know God, but many times we're in places of compromise. We're in places of compromise, but we know God, all right? But then guess what? The king is looking for him. And guess where they all are? They're in a place, the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, are located in a place called Lodibar. Lodibar is a place that's called a desert place. Amen. It's a place where there is no bread. There ain't nothing happening much in Lodibar. All right. Now, that doesn't make sense. Now, Machir, I'm in his house. He's loaded. But I'm in a place where there is no bread. Amen. Maybe it relates to Matthew 4:4. Man should not live by, but by that proceeded out of my. It just means that, listen, you can be at a place, huh? But not really in a place. See, what there are things that we can possess where the world is concerned, but still be so lacking where the things of God are concerned. I've got everything that the world offers, but I'm missing what God wants for my life. Amen. He's in a desert place. Remember, he's in a wealthy place, but he can't stand up. Amen. He's crippled. He can't stand. Now, remember, this is a play. This is a picture of God's grace. And so, and why he's watched this in, and this is the significance of this, why he's in Lodibar. That's in a place where there is no sustenance. A place where, listen, it is a desert, deserted place. God's looking for him. Amen. The king is looking for him. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God's looking for you. Tell your neighbor, don't matter where you are. Tell me, don't matter what the place is, you find yourself right now. Tell them God is looking for you. And listen, what do we do sometimes? We tell God, listen, when I get myself together, huh? When I get out of Lodibar, I'll come to you. When I get my next job, when I get my next increase, when I get, listen, my next promotion, God, then I'm going to be able to pull myself together enough to come to you. God said, in your low place, tell your neighbor, God wants you right now. Listen, don't wait till you get yourself together. Matter of fact, that's why he said that Mephibosheth was lame on both feet. He had no ability. Listen, to secure himself. Tell your neighbor, that just means I need God. Amen. So that means it doesn't matter. Listen, how much stuff you get. He was in a wealthy house. But the king said, I have need of you. King could have said, listen, oh, he's with Machio. He's good. No problem. Leave him right there. He said, no, I've got another place. I've got an elevated place that I want to bring him to. He said, I appreciate him dining well at Machir's table, but I'm going to welcome him to my table. Tell your neighbor there's a greater place. Tell him there's a better place. Tell him there's an exalted place. Ask him, do you want to go there? Do you want to go there? See, we have desire the things of God. Know that God's looking for us. What God wants to know is, will we turn our hearts to looking and desiring him? Amen. We've got to desire God as much as God desire us. And so the Lord says to him at this point, he declares, I'm going to bring you out of that low place. It's an interesting thing that God says that he does for each one of us. And God is speaking to the hearts of every person in this room today. And his desire for us is that we would listen, that we would have a realization that we need him. When I was looking at this, there was a note you're concerning. And when you look at people that are intellectually endowed, it was an illustration given concerning Henry David Thoreau. You all know him, you know, a phenomenal poet and writer. But he was asked one day after, you know, living, you know, a long life, when he was near death, he was asked, Henry David Thoreau, have you made your peace with God? And and he was also not only just a phenomenal writer, but also he was a person like Paul, who was just enormously, endowed with wisdom. He was an intellectual, to say the least, right? He was someone that people called when they wanted to explore the deeper thoughts of what was happening in society and in social, in your circles of the day. They consulted Henry David Thoreau. So when asked the question, have you made peace with God? His response was, I didn't realize that God and I ever quarreled. So it doesn't matter what your intellect is. Sometimes you can be, it's not the intellectual endowment or prowess that you have. It is the relationship with God that you have. Say, I never quarreled with God. Which means, listen, you didn't have to do anything. You were born in sin. Tell your neighbor, you came here messed up. Look at him and tell him, but God, but God. That's why the Lord said in Romans 5, verse 6, he said, and while you were yet sinners, in due time, he says, I died for you. And Henry David has to understand that. And listen, and God, when David sent for Mephibosheth, listen, we said that he was in a low place. And the king found him in a far country. Amen. Lodabar was not around where David was. Amen. But the king found him in the place that he was. Tell your neighbor, God is after you.
God is after you.
And he will find you,
in the place
where you are. Amen. If we believe that, if we trust God, if we surrender to God, if we listen, say yes to him. Know one thing, that God is after every one of us. And the word of God said, listen, this is what the grace of God demonstrates. It says, listen, you've not done, it's not a function of how good you are, but it's really a function of how good God is. Amen. Amen? Listen, and that's what paid the price that every one of us owed, but none of us had, listen, the financial or the physical endowment to be able to pay it. Amen? We owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And God covered it for everyone in this room. Amen? And the thing I love about what God does is I realize that if I was the only one that he needed to do it for, he would have done it just for me. Isn't that awesome? Listen, and then the Lord declares this. The thing that I like about what the Lord said, and I looked over in chapter 10 when you read David's attempt to be nice to another individual similar to Mephibosheth. And this is Hunan. This is the king of the Amorites now. And he endeavors to be nice to him. Listen, but the individuals that work with him, his executive court says to him, listen, when David sends men out to check on Hunan after his father died and he assumed the reign over the Amorites, and what they said to him, listen, some of them speaking in Hunan's ear and said, David sent people over here, not for the purpose of determining how he could bless you, but they said, David sent folk over here for the purpose of just trying to find out how he can overthrow you. Amen. Tell your neighbor, be careful whose voice you're lending your ear to. Amen. There are times, listen, when God is speaking to you, that you may be inclined, and you can study that. That's that illustration in chapter 10. But Hunan missed God. He missed out on what God had to offer because he listened to the wrong voice. And listen, I'm going to cut across the field here because our time is out. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're done for this service. We're going to have you in your car in that 46 minutes. I promise. I'm on the ropes right now. Amen. Listen, be careful whose voice you're lending your ear to. Amen. Be careful whose voice you're giving your ear to. Mephibosheth listened and Mephibosheth received. And if you read the last verse of chapter 9, it says that Mephibosheth dined at the king's table continually. He accepted what the king had to offer and God elevated him. Amen. Nun sent out the wrong person. And then we know that they committed what was considered an act of war. When Hunan didn't just disbelieve that the king meant him well, amen, but he also embarrassed the emissaries that David sent. He cut their clothes off up to the midriff of their hind part. The Bible said that half of their hind end was showing. You know, like people wear their pants today. And that's what the Bible said. I'm trying to be nice here. All right? And he said, now watch this. Then the king said, oh, no, you didn't. He said, that's an act of war. See, now we think it's stylish to wear our breeches halfway down our backside. And that was worth a fight in the Bible. And I would say it's kind of interesting today. Amen? Amen? And then he cut their beards off. And David told him, just hang out in Jericho, the walled city, until your beards grow back. Amen? Amen. And he said those were fighting words. So David destroyed Hunan's rule in his kingdom because of what he did. Listen, we don't want to reject what God is offering. We've got to be sensitive to whose ear, amen, we're giving. Listen to the voices. Be careful not to give our ear to voices that don't mean us any good. Does that make sense? Listen, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If there's a person in this room today that know that there is something that you believe that God is destined for your life, and that your heart is set on not allowing the enemy, listen, to get the best of your life. You're saying, I want God to be glorified. I'm ready for the reconciliation. I'm ready to be connected, reconnected to the purpose for which God placed me in the earth. A lot of us have. Listen, I like to talk about this. God made us, and he loved us so much that he formed us with his own hands. The Bible said he formed man from out of the dust. Didn't he say that? Amen. Now, I like it because God, when he created us, listen, y'all, he spoke everything else into existence. But when it came to us, he formed us with his own hands. He said, I'm not going to just leave you to just listen a verbal response and command for creation. But God said, I'm going to create you from, listen, my personal touch. I'm going to put my hands on your life. And that should say to everybody that we are precious. And then not only did he make us, not only did he form us, but then according to the word of God, then he breathed in us the breath of life. Come on, somebody say, not only did he form me. Come on, then say, he filled me. Listen, and then not only did he fill you, but he gave you a purpose, or he gave you a function. He told you that this is what I want you to do in the earth. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. He told us that. He gave us that assignment. And so he gave us, listen, a form. He filled us with his precious spirit. And then he gave us a function.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God declares, wisdom is the the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all in your getting. Get understanding.
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.
New Bethel Church of God in Christ presents 90-Minute Impact in Word and Worship, beginning Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. for people who desire to be impacted and impactful for the kingdom. Then come back for Sunday morning worship at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. For details, call 704-391-0365 or online at newbethelchurch.com. Also, you can hear Pastor Murphy on PrayCharlotte.com's podcast page on your computer, tablet, or smartphone.